Do you ever feel like you don't measure up? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you will hear from Nick Eno, who never measured up to his father's and his wife's expectations.
I think we're all trying to measure up in some way. And growing up, at least I felt that way, where I wanted to measure up to my dad, who I never saw, but I wanted to be a Murphy. I wanted to be someone, become something so he would be proud of me.
Right.
And I think I've heard a lot of people say, I just wanted my dad to say he was proud of me or he loved me or my mom. And so a lot of people can probably relate to that, just wanting to feel that acceptance and that approval.
Well, you know, that drives the psychology of many men and women of our day. Mm-hmm. People are looking to measure up. And the fear, I mean, that plays such a huge part in fear for people is not measuring up, not being enough, being in debt, not being good enough or great enough or able to make this job. But then all the pride comes from, well, I am enough, or I am, you know, doing good enough, and I am great enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of that battle that happens inside of people. But ultimately, there comes a time in our life, no matter how good we're doing, we suddenly realize we don't measure up.
Mm.
And what are we going to do to compensate for that?
And you know, I can remember even being married to you when we first got married, I wanted to be like this amazing woman. And I just felt like I kept blowing it. I was never like good enough to what I thought it should look like.
Without me even saying anything.
It just, it was my own, I was defeating myself. But I remember when I was cleaning the house one day and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, do everything as unto the Lord and the Lord will be pleased. So when I took that approach and I started doing things unto the Lord instead of trying to measure up to my husband, my friend, whoever it is, things started to change my life because I knew God knew that I was giving my all and he was pleased with me.
Yeah, well, you know, I think when it comes to measuring up, it's making sure that we are ending up in a surplus rather than being deficient.
Mm-hmm.
But what's amazing in the Bible, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 2, it says, he himself, that's Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. That means that he paid the price of our sin. He made us have a surplus.
And that is what he does for us, and he loves us that much. Let's hear from our next guest after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Young Living Essential Oils and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Young Living is the leader in 100% pure essential oils, providing natural plant-based ways to improve your health while replacing many chemical-laden products in your home. People have been using essential oils for thousands of years, even in the Bible. To order, just visit wearingsharingcaring.com today, and for a limited time, receive a free gift to help you get started. That's Young Living Essential Oils at wearingsharingcaring.com.
We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Nick Eno, and he's going to share with us what his life was like before he had an encounter with God. So let's welcome to the show, Nick. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Now, I understand that when you came to know the Lord, things weren't always that easy, and we're going to get into that too. But tell me a little bit about your life and where you were at when you were going to school.
Well, I was a typical go-getter, dog-eat-dog. I was trying really hard to please. My dad was really hard to please because he really had high standards.
Mm.
And so I saw everything around me as competition. You know, either lead or get out of the way. And so B's were not acceptable in my home. You had to have A's in everything you did.
Mm.
And the way my father showed love, supposedly I was his favorite, it was hardest on me than anybody else. So I just grew up with that deep sense of just some shoe's going to drop at some point. So I constantly had to be on the ball all the time.
Wow.
It wasn't really a great way to live looking back now.
And so you were from Africa and you came to America to go to school, and your whole family was depending on you to become a doctor. In fact, you were in your third year of school and something happened. But tell me where you were at, how you were feeling during this time that you were going to school.
I felt great. You know, I was looking forward to finishing medical school and getting established and making a lot of money and marrying a TV star, or talk show host, or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then one day I just began my clinical rotations and I met this young lady and she invited me to church. And I called myself an existentialist at that point. You know, I'd walked away from the Catholic Church that I was raised in. And so I just thought, well, if that's what she wants, I'll go there. But I'm really looking for her and I'm not looking for God. And I went to the service and it was the worst preaching I ever heard. I mean, this man was just mangling his words and couldn't quote scripture, but there was something alive that was really getting to me. And I got so uncomfortable, I got up to leave the church, but I found myself walking just by myself. Nobody else stood up. I walked straight down to the altar and just fell on my face. And it's like I was the only person in the whole world at that point before God. And I saw how puny and how meaningless my life was and how rebellious I was. But then also how alluring God's love was. It was like a magnet. And this peace, just, and I feel it even now talking to you, just peace just infused my being, my whole cell. I mean, just everything, every cell in my body. It's like home. I was home. And it was so deep and so all-consuming that I just knew that I had to quit medical school, which then was like a major, major crisis, you know, for my family. And long story short, I was shunned, you know, for 12 years. All kinds of repercussions. My father even died without speaking, you know. Well, he spoke to me, but never forgave me for quitting medical school. And then I had a lot of distress in my family members, you know, siblings who thought I joined a cult.
So, Nick, let me ask you a question. So basically, when you became a Christian, it didn't become easier for you, but it actually became harder for you. So much so that something happened, even with a very personal relationship of yours.
Yeah, it became really hard. One of the biggest shocks was that the lady who led me to the Lord that I ended up marrying basically accused me of taking God too seriously. She would leave the marriage 16 years later with another man, and that's one of the primary reasons that she gave, that she wanted to marry a medical doctor, and I quit medical school, and she didn't want to marry a minister, period. So things got hard, but I'll tell you this, though. That peace I felt when I gave my life to the Lord initially, it was so deep and so alluring, and like I described before, that I would run to that place, and it was worth it. In spite of all the storm on the outside, I'll run to that place. And the few times, you know, when it got really hard and I thought I could take matters into my own hands and walk away from that place, I learned the hard way that the safest place to be is smack dab the center of God's will, even if it's difficult.
I think that's very powerful.
Yeah, very good advice. And so you ended up really seeking the Lord. And what I love is that you pursued him and sought the Lord and he brought you that peace. And there are so many people that desire peace and they're in drugs or they're looking through relationships or even like you were trying to be a doctor to please your family. What would you say to those people now who are really trying to work their way either to God, to be a good person, or maybe even work their way to being fulfilled and success? If only I get to this place, then I'll be happy. What would you say to those listening right now?
I would say to them that there's a God-shaped hole in our hearts that nothing else can satisfy. Only God can satisfy. And after 30 years of counseling and my own walk also, I've been amazed at people I've seen who seem like they got everything together. Until I sit quietly with them in a quiet room, I then realize they never have peace at all. The things that we cannot achieve, the things we can only receive. And God's peace is one of those. We're so busy sometimes trying to give him the things that are good about us and the things that are shiny about us, the things that are healed about us. And he wants to give him the broken places so that he can take that and redeem that, and that becomes a platform then for us to reach out to the world and say, come see a God who did this for me. He can do it for you too, because he's no respecter of persons.
That's amazing.
So true.
That's powerful.
Well, there are people listening now who are saying, you know, I want that peace. I want to feel that peace.
Well, I mean, there's also another thing where there's probably someone listening and they're saying, you know, I've followed Christ and my wife or my husband left me. It got worse, and I got really mad about that. What would you say to that person? How did you get over that hurt from that relationship?
I remember when I came home and saw the email she left me from her lover and all of that, and I fell on the floor. The pain was so devastating. Gosh. And it took months and months and months of crying at night and talking to my pastor and keeping my heart open for reconciliation, because I really was not going to just not contend for the marriage. I fought for the marriage.
Yeah.
I stood in faith. And I'll say this to you, brother, that sometimes we in the church can be cruel to our own, you know. Mm-hmm. I had people shunning me. I had ministers who would not invite me back because supposedly if she had loved her, then she would have stayed, you know, without realizing what had happened to us.
Yeah.
But then God redeemed all of that. I can look back in retrospect. I can't tell you the exact moment when I felt like, wow, whew, this has become a testimony. Thank you, Lord. Because I had compassion for her. I could pray for her. I still bought her medication for her when she got sick. So I don't know when it happened, but I know it happened when God turned my heart and turned the bitter things into sweet things. And that's what the Lord does with us. If we just surrender and say, well, God, this thing looks like it's going to kill me, but you're the God of life. Even if it kills me, you're going to raise me up. But I just trust you. And we hang in there and trust him. He comes through for us every time.
That's wonderful. Powerful. And right now, if that's you and you're feeling like you're just done with it or you want to give up, we're going to pray for you because surrendering is the key to all of this.
Father God, we just thank you so much for what you did in Nick's life. But I want to speak to someone right now who's been running and running, striving and striving, and you feel like you can't, you have no peace. You feel like you have to move or something will devour you. I want to pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, I just pray for my friend who feels like that. That they're always running. And I pray, Lord, now, Lord Jesus, that the Bible says that you will give those who are weary, you'll give them rest. So I'm praying as we receive you and as we surrender to you, I pray that you give us that rest and peace right now. Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus, I'm praying for that one specific person who's saying, I kind of gave up on God. It got worse for me. That there was no better sunshine when I came to know Christ. I want to say to you is that stand firm. God hasn't left you and he's going to bring you through your storm. He's called you to overcome as Nick has overcame, and you'll overcome evil with good. So Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for just the power of the Holy Spirit to begin filling my friend's heart, soul, and just everything within them to encourage them and give them the power for the next step in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you need prayer, please feel free to give us a call, 877-480-4477. Again, 877-480-4477. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.